Rituals for the dead varied. Harris had no idea what Sirkin felt necessary for Irulan. Slowly, the young woman folded back the drape and stared at the face. Morgues were nothing like the funeral hostels of those religions that thought it important to make the dead look lifelike. No one had worked on Irulan's face with paint or powder, with clay or gum or needle to reshape and recolor it. Her dead body looked just that, dead. Harris guessed that even under the rest of the sheet, the marks of the fight and the autopsy both would be even more shocking. Harris touched her shoulder lightly.
It's so ugly.
Harris saw Oblo's eyelids flicker. This was far from ugly, as they had both seen ugly death, but it was Sirkin's first, maybe.
Her hair's all dirty and bloody.
Sirkin touched it, her hands shaking.
She had beautiful hair.
Harris hadn't expected Mahari to notice or to comment now, but Mahari was watching Sirkin.
If you want to cut yourself a lock, over on this side, it's just as clean and lovely as ever.
Sirkin's hand went out again. Then she turned and grabbed for a hand, anyone's hand. Harris took it and put an arm around her shoulders.
I'm sorry. You've seen enough now, haven't you? Do you have a picture of the way she was?
Yes. But that's not the point. She died for me. The least I can do is look.
Harris was surprised in spite of herself. She'd been impressed with Sirkin before, but death spooked a lot of people. Sirkin pushed herself away from Harris, but Oblo intercepted her.
There's a right way. You loved her. We all respect her body. You take that corner. Let the captain take this.
What lay beneath the drape met Harris's expectations. None of Irulan's beauty remained, nor any clue to her personality. In slow procession across the inside of Harris's eyelids, past the dead she had seen in all of her years, one blank face after another. She, too, always looked, and she had never yet become inured to it. Sirkin, only a fine tremor betraying her, stared blankly at the evidence of a violent death, and then, with Harris's help, stretched the drape across the body once more. A last stroke of the hand on that fire-gold hair, and she turned away, mouth set. Mahari, Harris noted, had clipped a single curl and folded it into a tissue. Sirkin might want it later, or might not. She trusted Mahari to know whether to offer it or not. Shifting the Sweet Delight from the Royal Docks to the Decorators took only a few hours, but Harris felt she'd put in a full shift's work by the time they had linked with their new docking site. First, there'd been the formalities of leaving the Royal Sector, with a double inventory of all badges issued and multiple inspections of the access area. That had made them half an hour late in departure. Then, the captain of the tug, designated to move the yacht, angry because of the delay, took out his frustrations with several abrupt attitude changes that strained Sweet Delight's gravity compensators. Harris had to be almost rude to get him to stop. Finally, even the docking at Space Enhance presented problems. Although Harris had given them the yacht specifications as soon as the contract was signed, the slot had been left wide for the much larger vessel just completed. Harris had to hold the yacht poised, just nuzzling the dock, while the expansion panels eased out to complete the docking seal.
They probably thought you'd tear up their space if they resized it ahead of time.
Somewhere on the dock, the moving and storage crews would be racking up time charges. Her crew would supervise the packing and removal of all the yacht's furnishings and the sealing of essential systems from whatever chemicals the decorators used. At least the lavender plush was about to disappear. Harris wondered if they'd roll it up and sell it to someone else. Perhaps that's why they tried to argue Cecilia into yet another color scheme she didn't like. It would save energy and resources to reuse all that material. She led the crew to the access tube and looked around for the decorator's representative. The decorator's dockside looked nothing like the luxurious offices in which Cecilia had made her choices of color and texture. A vast space, in which rows of shipping containers looked like children's blocks on the floor of a large room, gaped around them. Something smelled oily and slightly stale. A crew in blue-striped uniforms, presumably from the moving and storage company, lounged near the shipping containers.
Ah, Captain Serrano! Are we ready to get started?
The tall and gangly man had an ID tag dangling from his lapel, with the firm's logo in purple on peach.
Quite.
The man turned and waved to the moving and storage crew.
You do understand that everything must be removed or sealed? Not that there's any question of contamination. But we want no questions. I am Sir Schwerd, by the way, the director on this project. I suppose the owner is still determined on that unfortunate color scheme?
If you mean green and white, yes.
Pity. We can do so much more when given a free hand. Really, if clients would only realize that we know much more about decorating than they do. However, the client's satisfaction is more important than any other consideration. Though if we could strike a blow for artistic integrity...
Lady Cecilia is quite sure what she wants.
They always are, Captain Serrano. All these old ladies are sure they know what they want, and really, they have no idea. But let's not waste time lamenting what can't be changed. Always think positively. That's my motto. If the lady is unsatisfied with this redecoration, perhaps next time she'll trust the judgment of someone with real expertise.
Harris managed not to laugh at him. Anyone who knew Lady Cecilia knew that she had no doubts about her own desires. Sir Schwerd introduced the mover's supervisor, a thick-set bald man with twinkling brown eyes.
Gunson, quite reliable.
Gunson's expression said he could prove that without Schwerd's commentary. Harris liked him at once, and they exchanged handshakes. A steady stream of packers and movers moved through the ship. Cecilia's belongings disappeared into padded containers, which then fit into the larger storage shipping containers. With all the crew to help, the inventory checkoffs went more quickly than usual, according to Gunson. Cecilia's own quarters, the guest quarters, the public areas of the ship, crew quarters. Furniture, the contents of built-in storage, clothing, decorations, everything. Gunson opened the galley door.
And what about this?
Nothing. Seal it off.
It needs, something.
No, Lady Cecilia has a very exacting cook. He's got it just the way he wants it, and if you look at the contract, it specifies absolutely no change in the galley or pantries.
But food stuff should be removed.
Why? These are staples. They won't deteriorate in the few weeks you'll be working. If the galley's sealed, there's no danger of contamination from any paint fumes or whatever. Besides, we were told initially that there was no need to remove anything from compartments that could be sealed and were not to be worked on.
He looked unhappy, but nodded. The decorators had provided coated seals for compartments not part of the contract. Harris had her crew seal the hatches under his supervision. She wasn't sure she trusted the decorators not to try something fancy where it wasn't wanted. The bridge, for example, and the ship's systems compartments. The garden sections of hydroponics were all empty now, but the gas exchange tanks remained operational, the bacterial cultures on maintenance nutrients. She didn't want to take the time to recharge them all later. At last, everything was off the ship, and all the crew had their personal gear loaded on carry-alls. Harris sent them ahead to the lodgings she'd arranged. She and Sir Schwerd had to do the final inspection, checking both the seals to areas not being worked on and the areas that were supposed to be clear.
Someone always leaves something. Always. Sometimes it's valuable. Once, I recall a distinguished lady's diamond and ruby brooch lying there in the middle of the owner's stateroom. Why someone hadn't stepped on it and broken it, I never knew. More often, it's some little thing that movers can't believe is important but has sentimental value. A child's soft toy, an unimportant trophy.
Schwerd strode through the passages with an expression of distaste, glancing quickly into each compartment. The study in Lady Cecilia's quarters looked different with its antique books and artwork removed. Sure enough, a squashed and dusty arrangement of faded ribbons, which Harris realized after Schwerd smoothed it with his hands, had once been a rosette of some sort.
One of Lady Cecilia's earlier triumphs, I would say.
He held it out. Harris could just make out Hunter Pony in flaking black letters on the purplish ribbon.
It would have been a first place blue. Those letters were originally gold and silver ink, and I'm sure she'd notice if it were gone.
He handed it to Harris, ceremoniously, and she brushed off the rest of the dust, folded it, and tucked it into her jacket. Perhaps Cecilia would notice, perhaps not, but she would keep it safe. Back at the hostel, Harris checked on her crew. Transient crew housing had few amenities. The ship had been far more comfortable. But they had settled in, having arranged adjoining cubicles. She had decided to stay here with them, rather than at the Captain's Guild. She worried about the next few weeks, how to keep them busy and out of trouble until they could go back aboard. With a compassionate hand looking for revenge, and despite the militia's assurances, she knew they would be looking for revenge, all were in danger until something else distracted that organization. Perhaps she could schedule some training in civilian procedures. Petrus signaled her with raised eyebrows. Did she want to... Of course, though she'd like to have a long, uninterrupted sleep first. With the ship now the responsibility of the decorating firm, she could reasonably sleep late into the next shift. Surely her crew could cope by themselves for a day. She posted a crew meeting far enough in the future that she knew she couldn't sleep that long, no matter what, and nodded to Petrus.
Dinner first?
If you're hungry, go ahead. I'm more tired than anything.
Perhaps my suggestion was premature?
No, I've missed you. It's amazing how few times we've managed to be together. Something always happens. I'm beginning to feel like the heroine in a farce.
Don't say that. You'll bring the bad luck down on us.
Not this time. This ship's safe, and Sirkin's safe with Meharry in the same section. If the rest of them go wandering, they'll be a match for anything. Besides, they're too tired right now, just like I am. Maybe I'll nap a bit, and then... we finally have time to enjoy ourselves.